Namo Visnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nivasesha Sunyavadi Prasgati Desatarane Om Aginatamanandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Saksu Samilatan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Sapandantikam Vanshakopa Turbhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayivacha Patitanam Pabinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Now I will ask No, I won't be rebellious. I'll just move it. But the tendency was there, I have to admit it. Otherwise, why would I join the Hare Krishna movement? Sometimes, being a teacher by nature, I start a class by saying, now I'm going to ask you a very difficult question. But today, I will ask something that's even more difficult than a difficult question. The difficult question that I ask, when I ask the difficult question is, does anyone remember anything from the class we gave yesterday? But since we didn't give a class yesterday, does anyone remember anything from the day before, from the class about Krishna? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you have. Yes. Kaliya's was subdued. Yes, thank you very much. Anyone remember anything else? Yes. He would dance on that. Yes, thank you. Yes. Kaliya's wives holding their sons in front of them, trying to evoke the compassion of Krishna, came before Krishna. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. They got a chance to just stare at Krishna, just like in the Govardhan Leela. In the Govardhan Leela, everyone has the opportunity just to stare at Krishna because he is so beautiful. Thank you. Anyone remember anything else? Yes, Devakinandapu. Yes. He jumped on the heads of Kaliya, and Kaliya still wouldn't surrender. And he had so many heads, so Krishna would dance upon one head and crush it. And yet Kaliya thought, I have more to show him, because that pride had caused great anger in his heart. Thank you, Prabhu. Anyone remember anything else? Yes. And dancing, the devotees joined in and started dancing. That almost more than anything else in this pastime really struck me, is how Krishna was demolishing, purifying really the false ego of the snake. And he did it in such a playful way that he turned it into a festival. Although Kaliya at this time wasn't thinking it a festival, but it really was. It was a festival for his purification. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. He couldn't. He saw that the Brijbasi is on his behalf because of him. Because of his suffering, they were suffering. And Krishna wanted to stop their suffering. And that, as a counterpoint to that, Srila Rupa Goswami quotes a verse from Padavali that says that Mother Yashoda, she would tolerate countless births. She was ready to die 1,000 times to save Krishna from the smallest amount of suffering, from inconvenience, perspiration falling upon him. And yet, Krishna's mood was, "They're suffering because of me. I cannot tolerate that." Thank you. Yes. Krishna, what? Okay, what does that come from in the class? What is the reference? Krishna, I am yours and you are mine. Yeah, that is surrender. Because everyone has a sense of I am, of existence, of being. So when that sense of who I am turns into I am Krishna's, and therefore also, and that's called surrender, sharanagati, gotipte varanam tata, and that sense of Krishna, I am yours, immediately places one to feel in the group of those protected by Krishna. Because I have no one else but you, Krishna. If you don't protect me, I have no one else. Such an exalted mood. There will be some words in the prayers of the wives of Kaliya about surrender, a little bit. Did anyone else? One last. Yes, Prabhu. From jumping in. You have such a good memory, that was in the class before. That's very good, very exceptional. Very good. Does anyone remember anything from the first class? No, we're talking about exceptional memories. Yes, you raised your hand. You did, I saw you. You made believe you were scratching your ear, but tell us something from the first class. Huh? Were you here? Okay. Do you remember what book we were reading from? Well, something is there from Bhagavatam, Kant about Kaliya. Do you remember what happened? Yes, wonderful, wonderful. And made such a huge wave. This little boy made such a huge wave. And Kaliya was so disturbed. "You have come into my lake? Don't you know this is my lake?" And immediately, he stood in front of Krishna. He came before Krishna, who was just playing in the water, fearlessly playing. And Kaliya stood in front of him. And what did he see? Raise your hand. What did Kaliya see when he stood in front of Krishna? Very beautiful boy. Yes. 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 You even have a good memory. You remembered the question before the last question I asked. But what did Kaliya see? Raise your hand. Yes. Delicate. Who remembers the Sanskrit word for delicate? Who said that? Yes, Sukumar. Thank you. Very delicate. And what was the color of Krishna's cloth? Yellow cloth, pita vasanam. And what did Krishna see, Kaliya see from underneath as he was coming up? Does anyone remember? Raise your hand though. His lotus feet. Pinkish lotus feet. So much has happened since Kaliya stood. And it's so nice that none of you remembered that Kaliya bit Krishna. You didn't remember that. So much has happened since then. The residents of Vrindavan saw omens and they and they came in so much anxiety, and they saw another point that really stuck in my my memory was that how when Nanda Maharaj and the other residents of Vrindavan arrived, they saw Krishna from a distance. They saw Krishna within the coils of the snake. And then they saw the boys. They were asking, what happened? What happened? Did Kaliya put his coils out and grab him, or did Krishna go into the water? What happened? And the cowherd boys were stunned. Their minds were frozen in thinking about Krishna ecstatically, and the cows, no one could answer. They were practically dead, which made the cowherd men even more deeply concerned, krandantam, and they cried out in ecstasy, in fear, ecstasy. And then Krishna started dancing on the heads of Kaliya and with his heels, parsni, dashing them again and again and again until Kaliya was completely crushed and it appeared as if he was going to soon die. And then the wives of Kaliya came forward with their children and they fell flat on the ground and they began to offer prayers. Now, there are 22 prayers. And I thought about this, and I decided that if I go over them verse by verse in the Sanskrit, especially after a feast at lunch, I think everyone might be fast asleep by the time we got to the 11th verse at best. So what I've done, we've put together somewhat of a different presentation on this. I've summarized the verses, and only a few will go over. Very few will go over word by word from the Sanskrit. Now, how many of you have ever read the prayers of Kaliya's wives? Raise your hand. Okay, that's maybe half the devotees. Now, how many of you remember anything from those prayers? One, two. Well, when I prepared for this, I realized that there was one verse I knew the Sanskrit of, Kasyanu Bhava Syana Deva Vidmi. But other than that, I had no idea what they said. It just, everything merged into a great wall of philosophy that I couldn't remember. So I decided to study those prayers and present it in such a way that I could understand it, which is a first good step to try to present it to you so you'll understand it. So here's my attempt. But these prayers of 22 verses, they have three parts. And each part is very, very clear and very different from the other parts. Okay, how many parts are there in the prayers? Raise your hand. Okay. I didn't say raise your hand, but don't say anything. So, okay. Okay. So the first part of six verses, 33 to 38, there is a specific message. And it's about the glory of the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. And that the wives of the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya, was saying that your punishment of Kaliya, yeah, why don't we go? No, yes. Your punishment, nope, backwards. Okay. That your punishment of Kaliya by kicking him and dashing him with your lotus feet was actually great mercy. It was just, it was correct, because he did so many terrible things. But it was actually your mercy, and Kaliya was actually greatly fortunate. Kaliya was fortunate because you placed your lotus feet upon his head. And your punishment of him was correct. It was correct that you have done this. And yet, he is so fortunate because you have placed your lotus feet upon his head. Now, if I asked you, I won't ask you, but if I were to ask you, who knows what the first part of the prayers of the Nagapatnis is about, and you're allowed to look at the board, how many of you would know what it was about and could say it in one or two sentences? Raise your hand. I'm not a very good teacher. Okay, we'll try again. The first part, these prayers, they talk, don't worry, I'm going to ask you again. The first part of these prayers, isn't it amazing how you could be there but not there at all? The first part of the prayers is the fortune of Kaliya. The fortune of Kaliya, because he committed so many terrible deeds, and yet Krishna gave him the mercy. He punished him, but he gave him the mercy of placing his lotus feet upon his head. Okay. If I were to ask you, just raise your hand. If I were to ask you if you could, in one sentence or two sentences, if I could say, if I said, what were the first part of the prayers about, if you'd be able to answer that question, raise your hand so I can actually see and so I don't have to say it again. Okay, that's more. Okay. Good. We'll go to the second then. The second part is really just glorification of Krishna, where the Nagapatnis describe him as the Supreme Lord and the possessor of inconceivable and contradictory qualities and powers. So contradictory means that they're opposed to each other. So they glorify Krishna for having these inconceivable powers that contradict each other. And obviously we'll speak about what that means. But if I were to ask you what the second part was about, which is quite a few verses there, it's 12 verses, how many of you could say what it is? Okay, you can look at that. But on the final exam, there'll be no power. So you have to remember it. But how many of you think you know what the second, could easily explain, without too much anxiety, explain what the second part of the prayers is about? Just raise your hand so I get an idea. Okay, now you get the idea, then I'm not going to ask anyone. Everyone will raise their hand. Okay. And then the third part, the concluding part, is they will ask Krishna to forgive Kaliya, to be merciful to him, don't punish him. And they'll have a special reason for that. And it's basically that everything is your creation, O Krishna, because they've just explained how Krishna was the all-powerful creator. Everything is your creation, so therefore his bad qualities are also your creation, so therefore you should forgive him. So that's the third part. So together, first, they say, what you have done to him, your punishment of him, your dashing, beating his heads with your heels, with your feet, and touching him with your lotus feet is his great fortune, and it was correct that you have done this, because you are the Supreme Lord, second part, and you have inconceivable powers that are even contradictory to each other. So, Lord, O Krishna, please forgive him, because even his faults are of your creation. So that's the basic flow of the concept of their prayers. Now, if I were to ask you, if you could say what the basic concept of the prayers were in three parts, I know Prashanta would remember them. She has a very good memory. Who thinks that they could remember all three parts? Raise your hand. Okay. Oh, such good students. Then we will continue. Okay. Because sometimes in class, it's good to learn something also. Now, to continue our, so this is, we've turned into a real like classroom teaching exposition here. So out of these first six verses, I'm going to just go over a summary of each of those six verses, just one by one. But this is a summary of them only. Your punishment in 33, your punishment is just. And it is for, just means what? What's the Hindi word for just? Huh? Say it out. Okay. It is just correct. It is correct. It is proper. And it is also for his benefit. Next verse. Your anger towards Kaliya is your mercy. It has, because it has driven away his sinful contaminations. It has purified him. And then they wonder, what has Kaliya done? What good deeds has he done to cause you to be pleased and satisfied with him and thus award him so much mercy of punishing him and touching him with your lotus feet again and again and thus purifying him? We can see no good that this serpent has done, and yet you kindly purified him in this way and awarded him the dust of your lotus feet. So how, in 36, how has Kaliya gained this great benediction of the dust of your lotus feet, which even the Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, has been unable to gain? And those, and this is very important for us to remember, of course it is all important, that those who have attained, who have gained the mercy of Krishna, the dust of his lotus feet, they have no further desires. They don't want anything of this world. And then this section closes. All souls, this is in glorification of the dust of Krishna's lotus feet, all souls, regardless, please listen to this one. You ready? You listening? Yes? All souls, regardless of their conditioning, regardless of what situation they are under, the modes of nature, or regardless of what bodies they're in, they may attain all of their desires through the dust of your feet. But yet in the last verse it said, if you attain the dust of Krishna's lotus feet, you have no material desires. Full satisfaction enters the heart. But whatever you want, you can get from the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. And therefore they wonder, how is this sinful Kaliya attained this dust, this fortune? Okay, now we're going to go through these verses one by one and hear some of the commentaries of the acharyas on them. But let's see if this works. I don't know if musical accompaniment to the commentaries of the acharyas works, but we shall soon find out. But they're so sweet. Okay. The wives of the serpent said, the punishment, danda, of this offender has been subjected to is certainly just, nyayato, it's logical. After all, you have incarnated, tava avatara, your avatar, you have incarnated in this world to curb down the envious and cruel persons, kala, nigrahaya. You are so impartial. Oh, this is... What does that little thing say there? Yes, it collapsed. But don't worry, because all the devotees have such good memories in any way, so they know just what was there. But here is the commentaries on that verse. Srila Sanatana Goswami says, the punishment for the offender, it is proper, because you have appeared to punish the wicked. Though your real purpose, listen to this, is distribution of prema bhakti, that is accomplished by the punishing of the wicked. What does that mean? Krishna punishes the wicked and that awards one, or it helps one distribute or attain prema bhakti? Yes, because these pastimes, they touch us. And we see that Krishna's punishment of the wicked is another aspect of his kindness. So a person who is kind and is awarding us the best thing even while punishing, he is a person that we want to develop loving relationships with. And just by hearing about Krishna's pastimes, just by hearing them, there are so many benedictions and so much purification and so much attraction takes place just because of the way that Krishna does what he does. How he punished Kaliya and danced on his heads. Srila Jiva Goswami says, his punishment is proper because he committed sins against Garuda. He committed sins against the living entities in the Jamuna and the living entities in Vrindavan, and also against the Lord. He grabbed him and tried to crush him and kill him. And because you give just punishment, you have appeared to punish the afflictors, those who give the devotees trouble. You have also come to give mercy to the devotees. And you are equal to your sons and your enemies, because you saved Prahlad, the son of your enemy Hiranyakashipu, and you killed your own son, Bhomasura, when he acted demonically. Though you punish the wicked, you do not hate them. You give results which cure the wicked of their nature and give them eternal happiness. Next verse. You are so... Oh, that was from this verse. Okay, we spoke about that. What you have done here is actually mercy for us. Anugraha. No, certainly mercy. Since the punishment you give to the wicked, dandos asatam, asatam means the wicked, certainly drives away all their contamination. Indeed, because this conditioned soul, our husband, is so sinful that he has assumed the body of a serpent, and your anger towards him is obviously to be understood as your anugraha, your mercy. They're asking, how is it possible that he attained this mercy from you? What has he done to get this? Did our husband carefully perform austerities in a previous life with his mind free of pride and full of respect for others? Is that why you are pleased with him? Or did he, in some previous existence, it must have been in such, some previous existence, because in this existence he's done nothing good at all as an envious, poisonous snake. So in some previous existence, did he carefully execute religious duties, dharma or tava, with compassion for all living beings? And is that why you, who is the life of all living beings, are now satisfied with him? They are saying that Krishna is the life of all living beings. What happens when the life leaves the body? The body is dead. And what happens when Krishna leaves the body? Then there is no life in the body. And when Krishna, when we turn our back on Krishna, practically speaking, we have no life. We are just under the control of the modes of material nature, being whipped by so many desires, by so many pushings, by so many forces external to us, and we think that's our life. And then everyone's life ends the same way. Whether we're great, small, same ending is there. No life, practically speaking. So what has he done, O life of all living entities, that you have been so satisfied with him, that you purified him and you touched him with your lotus feet? Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, did he previously? Oh, he didn't even ask permission. Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. Did he previously perform austerities perfectly, devoid of pride? So there's some instruction in there. Giving respect to others, thinking that these austerities would not satisfy the Lord, they gave other alternatives. He must have performed his duties, his dharma, daily. And having stated the essential nature of that he did his duties daily, they elaborated on this. He must have done acts beneficial for others with complete dedication in previous lives. He must have done this, since in this life that was impossible. Were these done to satisfy you? Because an act of compassion done to satisfy Krishna? Anything done to satisfy Krishna, especially these type of acts, will naturally build up one's piety, and gradually, as Prabhupada has said, like water wearing away a stone, cause one to get ultimate mercy. Were these done to satisfy you, who are all jivas ultimately, and thus you were satisfied with him? And that showed in this life? Has he satisfied you by showing respect and compassion to all jivas? They're trying to understand how he got this mercy. And they're turning it around because it looked like Krishna had practically killed him. And they're saying, oh, Krishna, you have done so wonderfully. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that they were trying to cool down Krishna's anger. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, mercy towards all entities does not arise in the heart of a non-devotee. Because of Kaliya's tapa and dharma, he has attained the affection of the Lord in the form of the Lord dancing on his head. If a person gives respect to all living entities and satisfies them with his compassion, the Lord, who is the shelter for entities, is satisfied. And then Vishwanath gives a hidden meaning to this verse. If you are pleased with him for his compassion, then why should you continue to kick our husband in his head? Because at this time, Krishna is still upon the heads of Kaliya, dancing away. And then a verse that I like very much, the next one. Kasyano bhavo, everyone, you can say it along with me. Kasyano bhavo asyana deva vidmehi tavangri renu spadashadakara Yadvanchya Sri Lalana Charitapo Vahaya Kamam Suchiram Drita Vrata. Kasya means what? Anubhava means result. Now, what did he do? We cannot understand it. Na vidmahi. We cannot understand what he did, what activity he did to get this result, O Deva, O Lord, who has unlimited, unlimitedly astonishing greatness, We cannot understand what he has done. And to get what? Tavangri Renu. To get the dust, touching the dust of your lotus feet. What is his adhikara? What is his qualification for getting that? We cannot understand it. When Sri Lalana means who is the topmost woman, Vancha, Sri, Lakshmi Devi, desired to get the devoted service of Krishna's lotus feet and performed austerities for that, tapo. Vahaya kamam. She desired that and she gave up all her other kama, all other desires. Suchiram. For a long time she performed these austerities. Dridavrata. Fixed determination and vow. And she still could not attain this. She could not attain her desire of getting the service of your lotus feet, getting the dust of your lotus feet. And this snake has gotten it? How is that possible? What has he done? So go on to the next, and then I'll read the comment. Oh Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya has attained this great opportunity of being touched by the dust of your lotus feet. For this end, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries. Our acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Thakur says 3 yugas, giving up all other desires and observing strict vows. And Sanatana Goswami says, his comment is, we do not understand what type of austerity was the cause of Kaliya, who after all was a great offender, getting the qualification, the result of touching the dust of your feet. What austerities could he have done? Jiva Goswami, we do not understand. What was the cause of Kaliya, a great offender, getting the result of the qualification to touch your lotus feet? Why don't they know? Because Lakshmi, who performed austerities to please him, who has the most delicate of forms, desired the qualification to touch Krishna's feet. And she gave up the enjoyment of her relationship with the highest husband, Lord Narayan, and took great vows and performed austerities for a very long time, but she could not get this qualification. For this reason, the Nagapatnis exclaimed, O Lord, who has astonishing greatness. So they're putting this concept in that your greatness is astonishing because it includes the ability to give mercy and unlimited kindness to the most wicked and unfortunate. Now that I consider very reassuring. O Lord, with astonishing greatness, O Deva, Lakshmi, the consort of the Lord of Vaikuntha, as an associate of Krishna, she could not become a cowherd woman, but rather she took the form of Srivats, the line upon his chest. Lakshmi did not attain Krishna during 3 yugas because she did not have the intense exclusive love that the gopis had. The one may say that the cause of Kaliya's qualification was association with his devotee wives and living in the Yamuna within Vrindavan. Living in the Yamuna is not raised as a qualification because he offended the river. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, actually, the mercy given to Kaliya was not from tapa or dharma. It was Krishna's inconceivable mercy. And therein lies the hope of a devotee. That somehow or another, although I am so unfortunate and wicked in so many ways, you are so great, O Deva. So please, if you would bestow your causeless mercy on me, that remains in my life, in my heart, in my life as my only hope. So when our chanting has that dainya on one side and yet this very high desire, very hard to achieve, even desire to get Krishna's mercy, to attain some of the dust of his lotus feet in service in Sri Vrindavan Dham. On one side, this inconceivably rare, wonderful achievement, and on the other side, the least of all qualifications for it. In one sense, we would naturally think that as we perform our devotional service, we get closer and closer and feel ourselves more and more qualified. But the actual process is exactly the opposite. Prema and Dainya, they are the same. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains, they are the same. So the distance, the tension between our feeling of capacity and our desire increases. And the tension between those two awards us the ability to chant Krishna's holy name. Chinalapi sunichena turorapi sihishnuna manadena kit. And then the chanting has potency. Or more potency. And then kirtanaya sadahari. Okay. Oh, there's one more on this. One more comment by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Oh, no, that's the next verse. Okay. Those who have attained, they continue, the dust of your lotus feet, yad pararaja prapana, attain padaraja, the dust of your feet. They never hanker, navanchati, they don't desire for the kingship of heaven, nanaka prestam, just like Vritrasura is saying. Limited sovereignty, limitless sovereignty on earth, natasavabomam. The position of Brahma, Naparameshtam, the topmost position of this world, or rulership over the lower planetary systems, Narasadipatyam, like Bali Maharaj had. They are not interested even in the perfections of yoga, and those perfections are very powerful. Those siddhis give one so much control, as much as one wants. One can create a planet. One could make oneself tiny, great, grab anything, touch anything, have anything, icha, shakti, whatever I desire. But the devotees who have the dust of Krishna's lotus feet, his service, don't even desire even liberation, freedom from the material world, because they have the most cherished and satisfying of all things, Krishna's service. So, Srila Sanatana Goswami comments on this. Those devotees who have attained your foot dust do not desire ruling swaga. Sometimes we have our swaga heavenly desires, but touched by the lotus feet of Krishna, those desires vanish. Or desire something on earth, Brahmalok or Patala Yoga or yoga cities like Anima or even liberation. The lotus feet of the Lord with his form of eternity, knowledge and bliss. His form is eternity, knowledge and bliss. He is composed of that. It is attained by surrender. Tavasmi, the giving of the soul to him. These goals, other goals, are not desired, since they're insignificant when compared to the Lord's lotus feet. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. First, he responds as Krishna. But what great result will a person get by attaining the dust of my feet? And this verse answers, Vishwanath says, no, you cannot say this. The result is greater than anything else. Those who surrender to you, they don't desire swaga. Then what to speak? Those who surrender to you don't desire swaga. Then what to speak of those who have actually attained the dust of your feet? And then the final verse in this section. O Lord, although Kaliya, the king of the serpents, has taken birth in the mode of ignorance and is controlled by anger, he has achieved that which is difficult for others to achieve. Embodied souls who are full of desires and are thus wandering in the cycle of birth and death can have all benedictions manifested before their eyes simply by receiving the dust of your lotus feet. So their prayers are so wonderful because it places in our hearts this desire. See, the Sanatana Goswami comments, though Kaliya was a great offender, since he was born in an ignorant species in which he was controlled by anger, and although he was the leader of the snakes, somehow he has attained your dust. This does not happen by any means. It is only by your inconceivable power. So this is the calling of the devotees as they chant and as they serve. Please evoke your inconceivably powerful mercy on me that will uplift even me. Even me. Sanatana Goswami continues. Please listen carefully. By thinking of those feet, everyone, just take a moment to think of those feet. By thinking of those feet, Krishna's lotus feet, and the touch of his lotus feet, even those who are attached to their bodies can immediately attain all perfection. The words of Srila Sanatana Goswami. The living entities wander about, experiencing various sufferings, or doing sin or pious acts in the complete cycle of birth and death, samsara chakra, or they wander in birth and death, which is like a wheel turning again and again. Though they have bodies, they can develop material powers, if they so desire, or a wealth of prema bhakti, if they so desire, because of the supreme, infinite, astonishing power of the dust from your feet. Srila Jiva Goswami says, thus the wives exclaimed, O Lord, O Nata, O Lord, Nata, who requests the miserable to make requests. By thinking of those feet, everyone can immediately attain all perfections. Though one identifies with the body, with material wealth and spiritual powers, or prem can be attained, all those in prem can be attained. Therefore, now this snake, whose hoods have accepted your lotus feet. We pray that they attain Vaibhav special prem. So that finishes the first section, and we will have a little kirtan and a little meditation for us during the kirtan.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Se, Hare Tamada.
Everyone chant.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare.
Everyone loudly call out to Krishna for the dust of his feet.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Everyone, Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Rama, Hare, Rama, 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 Hare, Hare,
Hare, Krishna. Everyone! Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Everyone loudly, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna,
the Nagapatnis are not finished yet. They have explained the justness, the correctness of Krishna's punishing Kaliya, that he deserves it. But how has he gained this wonderful benediction of the dust of Krishna's lotus feet? But then they move to a different part, the second part. Now this is really challenging you. Does anyone remember anything about the second part of the prayers? Raise your hand if you remember what they were. Wow. Wow. If I was a bit younger, I'd fall off my chair for you. What? Okay. Who was? Yes. Huh? Yes, but. Yes, but. Contradictory qualities. Because what they want to say is you are so great. I'll let them say it. The first verse. And these are all, these I've just summarized, so we'll go. Oh, no, I did it, but it's okay. Obeisances to Krishna. Why don't we just cut this part, because otherwise it's going to take so long. It's so wonderful, but it's going to take a long time. Please listen. Obeisances to Krishna. You are the cause of all the gross matter in the universe. You are transcendental. You are all pervasive. You are the original cause and you are the shelter of matter. You are transcendental fully to all material causes and effects. The entire gross part of material existence is caused by Krishna. This is going to require me standing up and being dramatic. So you are the cause of the gross matter of the universe, and you are the cause of the subtle matter of the universe.
obeisances to you, O Absolute Truth. You are an ocean of consciousness, potencies, and energies, and you are free of all material qualities and transformations. You are the prime original mover of the material nature, the more subtle parts of existence. And you are the cause of time, as well as the cause of all the causes of the universe. Obeisances to you, Krishna, who is time, who is the shelter of time, the witness of time, the observer, the creator, and you are the totality of all causes. You are even the source of illusion, and you are the source of all improper understandings. So obeisances to you, Krishna. You are the source and the basis and of all required for a conditioned soul's clouded perception of reality by which he identifies with matter. It is you that is the ultimate cause of this. Obeisances to you, Krishna, the subtle, omniscient, non-changing transcendence who sanctions and provides power to all opposing philosophies. This is also described in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, that he empowers all the different philosophers proposing all different forms of philosophies and religions. He gives them the ideas, and he gives them the words to convincingly express them. And you are also the cause of all Shastric conclusions that differ from each other. So repeated obeisances to you, Krishna. You are the basis of all Shastric evidence. You are the author and ultimate Shastric source. And you encourage both sense gratification and renunciation through the Vedic literature. So they're saying these contradictory things. They're all coming from Krishna. And you are the origin of all of the Lord's forms. Obeisances to Krishna and Rama, the sons of Vasudev, and to Pradyumna and Aniruddha, the Chaturvyuha. Obeisances to all the masters of the Lord's many, many devotees. You both reveal and disguise yourself. You reveal and disguise yourself to both devotees and non-devotees. Obeisances, because he reveals himself to devotees due to their sincere devotion. And he disguises themselves and hides himself from the devotees when he goes and steals butter and things like that. And he reveals himself and he disguises himself, covers himself from non-devotees. There are some very interesting comments on these points, and the verses themselves are wonderful. But Krishna is the time factor too. You manifest all in existence, through which you can be both perceived and ignored. Obeisances to Krishna, Rishikesh. You manifest everyone's senses. Obeisances to you, whose glories are ununderstandable, who creates all in existence, but whose own existence can be inferred by the existence of all things. Very, very interesting. There's such debates amongst the religious communities and the atheistical scientific communities. The scientists, they'll see this universe and they won't see God anywhere. In fact, they will argue against the existence of God. And they will make up the most amazing philosophies.
just to hide the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There was before, in the scientific community, before, say, 1920, they thought that the universe was in a steady state, that it always existed. And then, due to Hubble first, I think, he noticed, an astronomer, that the universe was indeed expanding. So if it expands, it expands from something. And if it expands from something, yesterday it was less expansive than it is today. And then if you go back far enough, there has to be a beginning. So they have, even the scientists have put forward this theory, the theory that everything has to have, the universe has to have a beginning. So as soon as you say that there has to be a beginning, then you have to say that the beginning came from somewhere. Now, where did that beginning, where everything is created, come from? So the scientists don't like this concept. As soon as you start talking about a Big Bang, where everything was instantaneously, practically speaking, created, then naturally you wonder, well, where did the Big Bang come from? Because something cannot come from nothing. Can something come from nothing? If nothing has the quality to make something, then it can't be nothing, because it has the quality to make something. So this is a big problem for scientists. So some of them have decided, I have a really good idea, that we have to get back to this concept that the universe is eternal. So what we have is, we have this universe that comes from nothing. Excuse me, it's always collapsing and starting again, and collapsing and starting again, and collapsing and starting again, and it's been doing that forever. And not only that, there are unlimited, like bubbles of these universes that are all collapsing and starting, because it doesn't make any sense that this organized universe, statistically, it's practically impossible, actually impossible, for this organized universe to come just by chance. So there are infinite number of universes that are all collapsing and starting and collapsing and starting, multiverses. Infinite number of them, like bubbles. It looks just like what they describe as something like the picture of the universes on the causal ocean, by the way. But and just consider it, that here is some little insignificant person with a limited brain sitting in one desk in one university, in one city, on one country, in one tiny planet, in this huge, huge universe. And he's thinking, there must be, the universe has so many planets, and then there must be multi-universes, and there must be, and they must be all collapsing and starting again. And there are many, 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 many scientists who say, this is very religious, isn't it? This is just mental speculation. They actually use the word, this is mental speculation. This has nothing to do with science. It is just coming from their minds. And it is just springing basically from this idea of how can we see the universe and accept its existence but not have God in it, not have a creator, not have a supreme Lord. So they look at the universe, and Krishna, as this verse is saying, after our scientific talk, we'll go back to you manifest all in existence through which you can be perceived, And you should listen. You should all listen to this one very, very early talk by Prabhupada when he's describing Premanjana Chorita Bhakti Valochanena Santasa Daiva Vidyesu Valokayanti. He explains that Prema Bhakti is, and he's almost like searching for the right word. Prema Bhakti is the magic wand, he uses finally, that that allows you to see Krishna everywhere. He uses that term, the magic wand, the change in consciousness that disallows you from seeing Krishna nowhere, like the scientists, and Krishna is giving them the power to see him nowhere, despite the great intelligence which he's gifted them with. But to others, he gives prema bhakti, which gives them the power to see him everywhere. Evam vratas the priya namakirtya jatona raga jutititu chai hasatyato roditi rauti gayanti and madhavan rityadi lokabaya. Mahaprabhu has said that, his Guru Maharaj said, Srila Sripadiswara Puripad has said that that verse is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, the ecstasy of devotional service and chanting Krishna's holy names. So which do we want? Which do we want Krishna to give us? Because he'll give us whatever we want. Yayatam, papadyante, tamastataiva bhajamyam. And then if we say, I want you, Krishna, I always imagine, he says, really? Let's see. But he doesn't really say that, but I imagine he says that. And then they continue to the point that they actually want to make. You are the abode of all contradictory qualities. That's what they were saying all along. Both these contradictions exist in you. Obeisances to you, Krishna. You know the destination of all things, although you yourself are not understood. You are the regulator, the controller of everything. But the universe was seen in your belly by Mother Yashoda. You are the basis and the witness of the illusory material creation. You witness neutrally, but also you punish, as you did to Kaliya. And as the abode of all contradictory qualities, even though Kaliya is so wicked and is so cruel, you should still be merciful to him. And that's the point they want to make. Please be merciful to Kaliya. Then let's go on to the final section. I'm just going to do it on here. O Krishna, they say, you arrange for the universal creation, maintenance, and destruction. Everything is under your control. And you do this through the three modes of material nature. And you do this neutrally. Samoham Savabhuteshu. And you do it through your glance, indirectly. And you do this in the universal creation to awaken the ancient karma of the conditioned souls. And what they are really saying is, there is no fault in your punishing Kaliya. For although the body and nature of Kaliya are your creation, so they're saying, you have created his conditioning even. Because they're begging him. They want to beg him to be merciful to Kaliya. So although you create the body and nature of everything in creation. Our Kaliya is reaping the results of his previous actions through his karma. All bodies composed of the three modes of nature are your creations. Yet, those in goodness are especially dear to you, for you have descended to protect and maintain them and their religious principles. Yet, although those in the mode of goodness are so dear to you, look at the mercy you have given to wicked Kaliya. You have touched him with your lotus feet. And not only have you touched him with your lotus feet, you have stepped upon his heads. And not only have you stepped upon his heads with your lotus feet, you have danced upon his heads with your lotus feet. And he's not at all in goodness. He is ignorant. He is evil. And he is wicked, even though you created all those qualities in him ultimately. So please, one time, just one time, and if he does it again, we won't ask you again, but just one time, forgive our foolish husband Kaliya. Forgive him for the ignorance that you yourself have created. Forgive him for not understanding who you are. Please show mercy to Kaliya. And please show mercy to us because we are your devotees. Please show mercy to us by being merciful to Kaliya, our husband. Otherwise, we will become widows. And they end by saying, now, Krishna, please tell us who are your maid servants. What should we do? Certainly, anyone who faithfully executes your order is automatically freed from fear. And this is the shelter the devotees feel when they are serving the Supreme Lord by serving his order. Coming down in the Guru Parampara, they feel the fearless shelter and protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that ends mostly what ended up being a summary of the prayers of the Nagapatnis. There were so many wonderful... We still have some time, but I wanted to save time for kirtan. But there was just one... or two comments I wanted to read of the acharyas here. Because these prayers are so reassuring and they teach us how to pray, acknowledging impurities, but praying for the causeless mercy of the Lord. Here's one comment that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes to the verse where he explains that you reveal and disguise yourself to the devotees and the non-devotees. Vishwanath says, because Krishna is the revealer of his qualities, such as being controlled by prema, and he also covers his majestic powers through those same qualities of prema, his form is known only by those extremely knowledgeable in bhakti. So this is Mahaprabhu's gift. He has allowed people all over the world with knowledge, without knowledge, with piety, without piety, to chant Krishna's names, to associate with devotees, to come to Vrindavan, and to seek the shelter of his beautiful form. But Vishwanath continues, Krishna is recognized, and we're coming to the point that I wanted to make before we'll begin kirtan. Krishna is recognized by his extraordinary quality of extreme bhakti, bhakta-vatsalya, that he's the lover of his devotees. Atma Pajanta Vadanyata. This is the crown jewel of Krishna's qualities. Bhakta Vatsalya Atma Pajanta Vadanyata. That he is the lover of his devotees. No one except Swayam Bhagavan Krishna has this quality. Now please listen to this. The Lord sees the good qualities in his devotees and not the faults. And he appears in his devotee's heart. That's the comment of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare.
Everyone said
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama.
Okay.
Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Everyone again, Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.
Everyone, turn to the lotus feet of Krishna.
Krishna.
But don't put your back to Giriraj.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
Nagapatis made their prayers to the lotus feet of Krishna. Please also take a moment to make your prayers to the lotus feet of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Krishna Kaliya ki jai, Krishna Kanayalal ki jai, Giri Govardhan ki jai, Sisi Krishna Balaram ki jai, Sisi Radhasama Sundaralita Vasaka Devi ki jai, Sisi Gornatai ki jai, Sri Braj Raj Duli ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktavinda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hare Hare Gaur.